God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Welcome to First Church. My name is Justin. I'm one of the pastors here, and this is our senior pastor, Eric. Emphasis on the senior there. So somebody pointed that out last service. We'd like to welcome you. If you would grab your bulletin that was handed to you when you first came in. Just inside that bulletin are a lot of different announcements, a few that we want to lift up. The Safe Sanctuary training, there will be Safe Sanctuary training, a live session offered in Sedalia this coming Saturday. So if you want to be Safe Sanctuary certified, we do this to protect your kids, your grandkids, to protect the church, to protect you from anything that might or could or might happen. So this is definitely a good thing, but we'll be having live training at the Celebration Center in Sedalia. So there's information for that on here. And they ask you to register online. And there's directions on how to do that.
Just can't get away from that online stuff.
I know. It's like, okay, if you don't want to do the online, you don't have to, but you need to sign up online. But if you need to, you can just show up to the training and they can do the paperwork and do all that good stuff there. So Sarah can help you with that and kind of give you the directions for that if you want to contact her and ask her about that. Also, there is practice, cantata practice. If you are in the choir, you guys will be practicing here on Wednesday night. There's some of that information in here. And there are a few things I want to lift up. Dana Brockman just got her CNA, her certified nurse's aide, so if everyone gives her a hand for that. Yeah. And the marching band got first place in their division in Blue Springs also. So we praise for that.
And hey, Justin?
Also, yes.
Is Brianne here? Where is she? Well, it's her birthday today, and she turns 8, and we got to make sure that we... There she is.
There she is. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to make sure that... we say happy birthday to her today, so she might be a little shy, though.
All right. So.
Oh, and I have one more thing, Justin. I apologize for interrupting. Now, you know, on September 11th, we changed kind of the concept of how we're doing worship, with the 8:15 service being more traditional, this service being more contemporary. It has gone great. We thank you for being a part of it. Now, I know, and I just want to lift up something that I know is out there, but no, at least in my ears, no one is voicing it. It feels kind of odd, doesn't it? I mean, this people that worship in this service are used to it being packed, aren't we? And it feels kind of different, doesn't it, whenever with this shift and people are trying to figure out where they belong, which is great. It's normal, right? Just know that's okay. Let's voice it. It feels odd to kind of have some space between us. Some of us probably think, oh, praise God, I got space, some space here. But anyway, honestly, what this is about, this is we're laying it in your plates. It's for you to invite folks to this service. This is a service that is meant for you to worship, obviously, but also for it to be a place that you can invite folks to be a part of this worship and a part of this church that maybe have never experienced church before. Or maybe it was when they were teenagers and they've been away for quite some time. And this service is meant to be a way for us to expand God's kingdom, to live up to our mission statement, which Justin will have us read together after a moment. So just know that. It does kind of feel odd when you're used to so many people being around you. When you respond, it's like, wait, was I by myself in that response? Mm-hmm. And don't worry about it. We're all family, right? So just respond and know that I understand, and I'm excited about the possibilities and the potential of this service. So thank you.
Thanks.
Sorry, Justin. Thank you.
Also, if you would be sure at some point to tear out your connection card, be sure to tear that out, fill that out, and drop that into the offering plate so that we can have record of you being here. If you have a prayer request, if you have anything that you need us to know, if you want to be contacted, be sure to fill that out, drop that in the plate. And at this time, if you would, on the announcements page, on the front cover at the very top, we have our mission statement in bold. And if you would grab that and read that with me, this is our mission statement. This is something that we want to, I guess you could say, ingrain into our minds, into our hearts, so that we can be doing that which Eric talked about, bringing people in, expanding the kingdom of God, getting on board with what God is doing. And so at this time, please read with me our mission statement. Our mission is to make new Christian disciples by spreading God's hope and serving as the hands of Jesus in our church, community, and world. All right. Let's do that. You guys ready to have a great worship service?
Woohoo!
All right.
If you are able, would you please stand with us as we sing I Am Free? This is a great way for you just to have fun and celebrate with us and focus your hearts and your minds and your soul. Give the Lord a hand this morning. We have a song that you all know. Most of you love it. Sing it out this morning. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And praise, Lord, for this community of believers, God, that has come together freely, Lord, to worship you, to focus their hearts and their minds upon you, what you have done for them, God. They come to bring you thanks. They come to feel your presence. And although we understand, we believe that you are already here, God, today, we ask for your powerful anointing in Jesus' name. To be among us. We want to be deliberate in asking for your presence, God. We ask for your healing. We ask for your mercy. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask, God, that you anoint us with the spirit of joy. You know better than we know ourselves, Lord, what we need. We are here because of your amazing grace. We lift our hands to you, God. We lift our hearts and our minds. Everything that we are, we lay at your feet, God. We ask for you to be with us today. Make us one with you and one with each other, God, and may all evil and negative thoughts run from this place. Because of your powerful presence. We ask these things in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. It's time for Kids Corner. Come on down, kids. I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
How about you?
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
How about you? Sing it out now.
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus.
How about you?
I love Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I love Jesus. How about you?
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning? Pretty good? You know what? I'm feeling pretty good myself, but last week I had something really bad happen to me. I hurt my pinky toe. It hurt pretty bad, too. I thought a pinky toe was just there. It wasn't anything important. It was just there to make my other four toes look good. I didn't realize it was that important. But you know what? After I hurt it, I tried to walk, and oh, wow. I was limping, and my foot hurt and my leg hurt and I couldn't run. I couldn't go outside and plant my flowers. That little pinky toe caused me a lot of grief. And I realized how important that little pinky toe was to my body. You know, I always thought hands and my ears and my mouth and my legs, they were important. But I realized that little pinky toe was important too. And then I got to thinking about all of you guys. And I thought, we are a body of believers here. Just like my body, we are a body of believers. And everybody is important. Even little bitty people like you. You're just as important as the pastor, that pastor, our teachers. There's so many people that give of themselves and give of their money. They're important, but you guys are just as important. And God loves you all, just like I should have taken better care of my pinky. God is going to really take care of you guys because he loves you. So don't ever forget that just because you're little, you're not important to our church body. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this wonderful, wonderful day to worship you. We thank you for the great nation that we live in, that we can be free to worship you. Please let us remember that even though we're little, we're important, God, to you, and we're important to this church body. We love you so much. Amen. Thank you.
Give God praise, huh? Come on now. Amen. If you would, grab your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. The book of Mark. Are we talking old or new?
New Testament.
Yes. Mark was the first gospel written. The first of four. Once you have Mark chapter 10, if you would hold your place and please stand with me. Okay. Lift your Bibles high and say with me the Bible pledge.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can have what it says I can have.
Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.
So in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13, the gospel writer writes, people were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such that these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up to his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
You guys may be seated.
Good morning. All right, we have been discussing Gary Chapman's five love languages for the last several weeks. And we have discussed the love languages of words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, and acts of service are those that we have covered so far. And just a quick review here. Remember, in words of affirmation, we talked about encouraging words, kind words, humble words. Now, just to maybe strike a memory, when you're talking about humble words, remember I was talking about either an apple or a cherry pie. Do you remember that? And I'll say apple. And a humble way to ask for an apple pie to your spouse. And, you know, I got to just lay it out there. This is probably from a husband's perspective. I don't know how a wife would ask for a cherry, or did I say apple or cherry? See, you weren't even listening, were you? No, apple. Anyway, the good way of saying that is, you know, honey, you make such an awesome apple pie. Do you think you'd have time to do that? I just love an apple pie, right? Okay, so that's a great way. Now, a not so great way, a non-humble way to ask for an apple pie. You know what? I don't think I've had an apple pie since our son was born. Do you think I'm going to get one of those before he turns 18? That is not a humble way to ask for an apple pie. So guys, just take that, file it right back there, all right? So encouraging words, kind words, and humble words, that's how we classified words of affirmation, the first love languages. We then discussed quality time, and we focused on our time together, where there is quality conversation, which is different from the first love languages. Words of affirmation. Words of affirmation focuses on what we are saying. Whereas quality conversation focuses on what we are hearing. Is this ringing a bell? So as we considered quality time and quality conversation, we talked about practical tips of listening. Remember this? Maintain eye contact. That way your mind won't wander off as you're listening. Because remember, how many seconds do you actually listen to a conversation before you start figuring out the answer to the problem? It was 17 seconds, right? I mean, ask me how scientists measure stuff like this, but they said, on average, most people listen for 17 seconds, and then they'll start thinking about ways to fix whatever that person is talking about, it, whatever problem that is. So maintain eye contact, so that you will stay focused on the other person. Two, don't listen and do something else at the same time. All right? Three, listen for feelings. Four, observe body language. In other words, that probably means something, right? All right, yeah. Five, refuse to interrupt. Refuse to interrupt. So we also heard about the love language of receiving gifts and how this is not a buying of someone's love. This is not a way to buy your spouse's love. Whenever receiving gifts is their love language, it is a much deeper level than what you're thinking of there. It is a way that they feel appreciated and loved in your relationship. So then last week we moved to acts of service. Acts of service. And this love language is literally a way for spouses, friends, parents, children to serve one another. If acts of service is your love language, think how you would feel when you came home from work if your child had cleaned their room. Right? Or ladies, if your husband had picked up his socks and underwear off the floor. Right? Or if your child had cleaned their room and taken out the trash. Right? I mean, all of us, probably, whether our love language, primary love language is acts of service or not, you would really appreciate that, wouldn't you? But if your love language is acts of service, that would affect you deeply. That would affect you very deeply. So there are many ways that spouses can serve one another. There are many ways that families can serve one another. There are many ways that friends could serve one another. So today we're going to move to the fifth love language, physical touch, or what I like to call healthy physical touch. Healthy physical touch. Now, I don't know if you ever paid attention, but Scripture tells us that Jesus did a lot of touching. Have you ever paid attention to that? You know, it's one of those things that as you're reading the Bible, you tend to just gloss over. You don't think about it. You know, Jesus reached out his hand and touched and they were healed. You know, I mean, it doesn't sink in, or at least it didn't for me. And so when you heal someone, I mean, when we heal people, we have to touch them, don't we? Right? You all have healed people, right? Well, I just figured that was normal. I didn't know that. No. Yes. That's exactly right. What? Oh, a hug? Yeah, that's exactly right. So, yes, when you reach out and touch people in a healthy way, it is a very healing thing. But the reality remains, because of who Jesus was, he didn't have to touch people, did he? I mean, we have examples in Scripture. I can think of one right now where a father comes out and begs him. And he says, oh, because of who I am, you don't want to come to my house, but I know from right here you can heal my daughter. And Jesus heals his daughter because of that man's faith. As a matter of fact, he says, you have greater faith than anyone I've seen in all of Israel. Right? So Jesus, the reality is, Jesus did not need to touch, but he chose to touch people. He chose to touch people. And it just lifts up the importance of healthy physical touch for all of us. And I want to take a look at some examples. I hope you kept your Bibles out, or the Pew Bible, either way. The first one, while you're getting your Bibles out, the first one I have on the screen, we have our scripture for today. Let's look at that. Mark 10:13. Now listen to this. People were bringing little children to Jesus in order that he might touch them. And when his disciples kind of got the parents in trouble, right, for bringing their kids to this busy man, what did Jesus do? Whenever the disciples got the parents in trouble for bringing their kids to him, what did he do? Huh? Yeah, he kind of got after the disciples, didn't he? He says, hey, wait a minute, what are you talking about? Bring those kids on, right? And as a matter of fact, if you move on to verse 16, the scripture tells us, and he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. So with touch comes blessing. Right? With touch comes blessing. He took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Blessed them. So, you know, it's interesting. Numerous research projects in the area of child development have made the conclusion that babies who are held, who are hugged, and kissed develop a healthier emotional life than those who are left for long periods of time without physical contact. We've all heard that before, haven't we? Yes. When you combine that fact, that scientific study, with our scriptural heritage of healthy touch, you can come to the conclusion that wise parents are touching parents. Wise parents are touching parents. And quite honestly, I would say, for instance, because teachers have so much contact with our kids, I know how this world is today, but I would say the best teachers are healthy touching teachers. You understand why I add healthy there, don't you? And it's sad that I have to, but you understand what I mean by that, all right? So if I'm just going to stay in Mark only, and I'm going to lift up two very easy in the Gospel of Mark that where it talks about Jesus touching people. Mark, go back to chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. As you're finding, Mark chapter 1, verse 40, I just want to remind you a little bit about leprosy. Leprosy in that day and age was a disease that people feared. And you were forced to wear ashen type clothing. And like, for instance, if Debbie, I don't know what the distance was, but you'd get within a certain number of feet from people and you'd have to say, "Leper, leper." All right? Because you had to warn other people that you were a leper. It was so feared that they had their own communities. They were not welcome in the city proper. They had their own communities out. So, now, as you think about that, think about how many people have touched a leper in, you know, since they've contracted this disease. They would hardly have anybody touch them. Why? People were scared to death to get leprosy themselves, right? So here we are, verse 40, chapter 1 of Mark. A leper came to Jesus, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and what? Now, let's just pause there for a moment. Think about, if you can. Now, maybe in this day and age, and even now it's not so much, back in the 80s when AIDS first started coming out, if you had a friend, a relative, someone close to you that had AIDS and were going through that time, you might begin to understand how lepers might have felt. People were scared to touch people with AIDS, weren't they, in that day and age. I remember I was in the chaplaincy at that time, right? And I just learned through chaplaincy that I had to dress up to protect the person that had AIDS, not the other way around, right? So whenever you might understand a little bit how lepers felt. So this leper hadn't been touched for who knows how long. And Jesus, what did he do? He stretched out his hand and what? Touched him. I don't know about you. I bet you that there's some healing that took place right there, wasn't there? I mean, even if it was Peter, I bet you there would have been healing there, right? Just that physical touch. Now, because of who Jesus was, it goes much deeper than that, doesn't it? Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. So when you think about that and the power of touch to people, that in and of itself is a very powerful healing agent when it's healthy physical touch. And then, of course, Jesus, who didn't have to touch anyone, chose to reach out and touch a leper. And that's the way people understood that that disease was contracted one to another, was through touch. Can you imagine the feel of Jesus' touch that day? Let's move on to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. I asked the first service to turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 40. They're a little slower than the first service was. Yeah, they're only 37 verses. But it's actually Mark 7, chapter 30, or chapter 7, verse 32 and 33. 32 and 33. They brought to Jesus a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd. I'm not sure why that's important. But anyway, he put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha, that is, be open." And immediately his ears were open and his tongue was released. Jesus chose to touch. Did you notice, just real quick, did you notice in both of these cases who he chose to touch? The sick, the outcasts. Jesus chose to touch the sick and the outcast. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm sure he touched his disciples and stuff like that. I'm sure they had a lot of fun and splashing water on each other and wrestling and stuff. I'm sure that happened. But in these two scriptures, he chose in this powerful healing way to touch the outcasts, the sick. It is so important to us human beings. And Jesus' touch and laying on of his hands so often in the stories, in the Gospels, it just confirms the importance of healthy touch. So, as we come back to our time now, what does Gary Chapman say about physical touch? What does Gary say about physical touch? When you heard last week that I was going to preach on physical touch, many of you probably went straight into the concept of being intimate with someone. Come on now, just admit it, yeah? Okay, don't. From the male perspective, you think? And that is very important in a marriage relationship. A healthy sex life is a piece of the puzzle in every healthy marital relationship. But expanding from intimacy to a broader concept of healthy physical touch, right? Physical touch can make or break a relationship. It can communicate hate, and it can communicate love. Dr. Chapman says, to a person whose primary love language is physical touch, the message will be far louder than the words, "I hate you" or "I love you." A slap in the face is detrimental to any child, but it is devastating to a child whose primary love language is physical touch. A tender hug communicates love to any child, but it shouts love to the child whose primary love language is physical touch. In marriage, the touch of love can take many forms, and there are touch receptors throughout the body. Throughout the body. Lovingly touching your spouse almost anywhere can be an expression of love. That doesn't mean that all touches are created equal, or that your spouse likes all touch equally. Anybody who's been married more than 2 or 3 years can attest to that. Amen? Yeah. So, it doesn't mean that touches are created equal or that your spouse likes all touch equally. And don't insist on touching in your own way and in your time. Your spouse may find some touch to be irritating. I'm sure you haven't found that out, have you? Huh? Some touch to be irritating, and listen, now think about this. This is so simple, it's like, hello, duh, right? But to insist on continuing those touches is to communicate the opposite of love. Do you hear me? You have got to communicate to each other about what you like, what you don't like. Love touches or physical touch can be explicit or implicit. Have you ever thought about that? Love touches or physical touches can be explicit or implicit. Explicit demands your full attention. Or you better have your full attention on it. Let me put it that way. It takes more time, not only in actual touching, but in developing your understanding of how to communicate love to your spouse. You follow what I'm saying there? It takes time for you to understand what your spouse likes or doesn't like. And your learning curve is how long that's going to take. Everybody with me on that? Now, there is another kind of touch, implicit touch. Implicit touch. It requires only a moment, and it honestly doesn't require much thought, such as putting your hand on someone's shoulder. Now, it doesn't have to be a spouse, right? It might be. You sit up front, so you get
anymore.
Yeah, you're not doing okay. But seriously, I mean, who knows what Debbie's going through? And for you in another setting other than this, to just, that could mean 1,000 words right there. Healthy physical touch. All right. So that implicit touch. How about, speaking of husband and wife, you're watching a movie at home. sitting on the couch together. All you have to think about is, I'm going to sit on the couch with my wife or my husband. But beyond that, all you got to do is be there. Amen? These are things that you don't really have to put much thought into, but they mean so much. How about when you're leaving for work or for school, a quick hug and a kiss as you walk out the door? Now, that could be to a husband or wife. That could be to a child, couldn't it? One of your children. It could be to a sibling. You know, in our house with three boys, you know, on a very good day, you know, they might smack each other on the shoulder and say, hey, I love you, brother, right? That's probably about as physical as they're going to get in that regard, right? So it's different for different people, but implicit in many ways can be more powerful than explicit. Right? But the thing is, implicit can also be outside of a marital relationship. Right? It can be parent-child. It can be friends. It can be, you know, whatever. A child to parent, for instance. All right. So today, now I hope you've come to an understanding of how important healthy physical touch is. It is so important. Now, if your love language happens to be physical touch, you understand exactly what I'm saying today. In your mind, you're probably going, oh man, Eric, amen to that. Right? I'm with you. I understand. For those of you who maybe words of affirmation is your primary love language, you might be kind of going, yeah, okay, yeah, whatever. Right? It's all right. Either way, all five of these love languages are so important. And now, guys, I want to tell you, and we'll get into this more next week. But just because you may like the sexual aspect of physical touch does not mean that that is your primary love language. That does not mean it is your primary love language. Today, though, know that a hug or a healthy physical touch from a trusted friend, a spouse, a parent can heal many wounds. And so we've talked through words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service. Yeah. Now, there may be some where you said, well, I feel strongly in two. Right? Well, that's cool. That's all right. And as you read his book, you'll understand, and we'll talk a little bit more about this next week, that you may think you're one, but you realize unless another love language is happening, you're really not happy in what you think you are. Is that making any sense at all? I'm going to copy a test, not a test, it's a worksheet that you can work through. And which, by the way, I was told that there are apps for the love language. If you have an Android or an iPhone, you can download a free app and you can take the test right there on your phone. There's a test for females and a test for males. All right? And so you'll be a step ahead of everyone else. And I invite you to do that. They said that the one that costs has the whole book. Oh, hey, you know, 21st century. Debbie posted it on her Facebook. On the church's Facebook. If you want to go to the church's website and sign up for our Facebook. And you can take the test there as well. So it is something that is very important. All five of these are important aspects of how to keep your love bucket and your spouse's love bucket, your children's love bucket, full. There's some interesting statistics on children who have their love buckets full, so to speak, versus those who have not. And the aspects of what those two groups of people have done in their life. And so it is very important. Let me just say this for next week, a little prelude. It is very important that you do what you can, parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, to keep your children's love buckets full. And it may not be the same type of love language that you have. And you have to learn, just like you do with your spouse, right? What your child's love language is, or love languages are. So, each of these, again, are pieces of the puzzle or aspects of keeping the love that we need to understand, so that is so important in relationships. So, all right, make sure you invite your friends, family, workmates. We're going to conclude next week our teaching series by looking into discovering your love language and figuring out how your child's love language affects your relationship. So make sure you come back for that. Make sure you invite some friends that, from your understanding, may need a little help in that regard as well. So I hope this has been helpful for you. Now we've covered all five, and we're just going to kind of fill in the gaps next week that will hopefully help you out in a big way. So today, as we take communion, I hope you don't shut off the idea of this love languages and think, oh, we're back into this worship mode of taking communion, right? All of this is about, I have to admit, I kind of wonder, even people that you don't know, when you're thinking about the church and its relationship with people, I think if the church would study this idea of love languages, we might be able to better understand a community of people and the community that surrounds people. Because that's what, this is just Eric, I think that's what most people are looking for, right? A place for love and acceptance, but yet a place that teaches, right? A place that accepts, but they also want to get better in their life, amen? And so you know, that's what all this is about, and that's kind of what I go for whenever I preach on Sunday mornings. You know what? There's some people out here that probably deserve to be here a lot more than I do, with your wisdom of the Bible and wisdom of life, right? But I'm given this, you might call it a gift, to be here. And I depend on you all to share with me that wisdom so that I can give other people that wisdom as well. We as a church need to share that with our community. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you so much for these concepts of love that Gary Chapman has brought to our attention. As we read this book, as we maybe read it on our Nook, our Kindle, maybe we just listen to it here on Sunday mornings. Maybe we go to our website and listen to the sermon again. Maybe we listen to it on the radio, God. We just ask that something about this message of love languages changes our life. Whether it's understanding our own selves, or whether it's understanding someone else who's very important to us. Help us, Lord, to be your children. Help us love others in a graceful way. Help us fill others' lives with love. That sounds kind of corny, God, I know, and I'm sorry, but we want that agape love, the healing kind of love, Lord. We want people to understand that they are important. We want, as Ginger said, the children to understand that they are so important in this community and in the world. Help us use what Gary has done in these five love languages. Help it enhance our lives. Help them enhance the life of this church, God. Help us reach out to people who need to understand that love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we sing together, hear our praises. You are welcome to come forward and kneel at the altar if you choose.
May our hearts be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May justice bow to Jesus. As the people turn to pray, from the mountains to the valleys, hear our praises rise to you. From the heavens to the nations, hear our shine in the dark.
Gather together today to experience Holy Communion. I don't know about you, but this is one of my favorite times as we worship together, is the serving of communion. It is a way for us to remember, whether we call it Lord's Supper, whether we call it Eucharist or Holy Communion, it is a way to remember what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It is also a way to remind us the fact that Jesus chose to die on a cross for you. Here in the United Methodist Church, all are welcome to come forward and partake of the bread and the juice, the elements, if you're looking to follow Jesus in a closer relationship. So all are welcome to come forward and enjoy this meal meant to help us remember. And my prayer is that each and every one of you have the blood of the Lamb over your doorpost. My prayer is that as the Hebrew people did back in Moses' day when they were in Egypt, put the blood of the Lamb over their doorpost so the angel of death would pass over them. My prayer is for you that you have accepted Christ in a way that you know Jesus personally. Not know, but know Jesus personally. So that His blood is on your life. Amen. This meal is meant to remind us whose life we live. Our life is not our own. Our life is the one whom we've given it to. And that's God's. So today, as we worship together, remember that Jesus came for us. He taught us. He lived with us. And the world killed that life. Jesus came to be with us, to teach us to have healthy touch, to love one another, to bring healing to each other. And the world shed His blood on the cross. Just as the disciples and Jesus gathered around a table to celebrate the Passover meal, we celebrate what God and Jesus have done for us in our life. Let's pray. Creator God, we give You thanks and praise for this day. We give You thanks and praise for this bread and this juice. And we even thank You more, God, for what they represent. Your Son, Jesus the Christ. We thank You for this miracle of Holy Communion. We thank You, God, that each time we take it, we become more like You. Anoint us, God, to love one another. Anoint us, Lord, to put, put our primary task, Lord, on learning what others' love language is, so that we can better understand them just the way You have done for us. Holy God, today, right here and right now, I ask for Your powerful anointing to be upon this bread and this juice. May the Spirit, in Jesus' name, be underneath and above and around and within these elements. May it truly be Your body and Your blood broken and shed for us. We thank You again for this meal. May it continue to remind us of the wonderful thing You've done for us. And Lord, now we come to a time when we want to pray, Lord. We want to pray a prayer that Your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Those that are helping out today, would you please come forward at this time? Here at First Church, we have two different ways to serve communion. One is called by intinction, and you are given a piece of the bread and you dip it in the juice and then take it. Another way is through the wafers and the little cups. Both are valid forms of Holy Communion, and I invite whichever you feel most comfortable taking is totally fine. We want everyone to be able to partake of this holy meal. So would you please prepare your hearts and minds as we serve each other. Thank you.
this time, I'd like to invite our ushers to come forward as we give of our tithes and our offerings. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks. We give you praise, Father. Thank you for teaching us how to love. Thank you for showing us and just using your children to show us how to love. And God, help us to love each other. Help us to love those who don't know you, those who need encouragement, those who need help in some way, God, that help us be an extension of you. Help us to be your hands and your feet. And God, we just lift these offerings up to you. God, help us to be your hands and feet here as well. As we just give our tithes and offerings, God, we pray that it go to the expansion of your kingdom and your love here on the earth. We say this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Our prayer is that you felt God's presence, that you were healed in whatever way you needed to be healed in today, that you were given powerful energy to go forth from this place and expand God's kingdom and heal others, quite honestly. As you go from this place, remember, as always, that you are a child of God and you are not alone. So take that with you as you walk out those doors. And remember, when you walk out those doors, the church has left the building. Amen. So go be the church to the community. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shalom to you.